Welcome to Mission Critical, a podcast about the big picture, the purpose, and the values that drive today's most game-changing companies, entrepreneurs, and leaders. I'm your host, Lance Chung, Editor-in-Chief of Glory Media, and I'll be introducing you to a group of brilliant minds who are making an impact on the world and forging the path ahead. While they may all be very different from each other, the question remains the same. What's your mission? This episode is part of a larger series called Momentum, presented by Monogram Appliances, which aims to celebrate Asian leaders. Elevate your culinary domain with Monogram Luxury Appliances, where sophistication meets performance. Each piece is crafted for those who demand excellence. From precision-engineered ovens and cooktops with sapphire glass, to stunning refrigerator interiors that use aerospace technology, you can experience the art of cooking like never before. Monogram is redefining luxury in the kitchen. Visit monogram.ca and transform your kitchen into a statement of elegance and innovation.
Evelyn, I'm so glad that we're talking to, like, we've finally got a chance to, like, talk and be in person and have a little chat. We've had a chance to, like, you know, cross paths at different events and have mutual friends, obviously, in the industry. But I'm so glad to be able to chat here with you in your beautiful studio as well.
Yeah, same.
We just finished a lovely cocktail making session, so we are now well hydrated.
Yes.
Very important. But I wanted to talk to you about, you know, your entrepreneurial journey and really kind of like your perspective on everything that you're doing and like what it means to build a modern hospitality, entrepreneurial driven business. So maybe we can just start off by, you know, you telling me a little bit more about kind of the journey to where you've, you know, the business that you've built today.
Yeah. How much time you got?
I know, right? Close notes.
So I actually have been in the hospitality industry for 18 years next month, which is a lot of time being in one industry, but I absolutely love it. During the pandemic, I was laid off as a hospitality executive, like a lot of others. So I decided to channel all my energy into Evelyn Schick Projects, which is now my umbrella company. And it really started as a passion project to put some recipes online for people to look at. It kind of grew into folks asking me to help with their bar programs at the time when takeout and not indoor dining is happening. Mm-hmm, and it slowly kind of turned into a little beverage haven where folks can come in and do virtual cocktail classes. I started going on air on the social, doing cocktail classes for Toronto Life, and the demand kind of grew for those cocktail experiences because people weren't able to go to a physical space to enjoy them. And that's where Love of Cocktails was born. So Love of Cocktails is a cocktail experience gifting company. And we sold a ton of cocktail boxes, so much that in the first year of Evelyn Schick Projects and Love of Cocktails, did $1 million in sales and services, which was
incredible,
crazy, because yeah. I went from nothing to studying packaging, figuring out shipping logistics, finding a space, hiring staff. And that's all that experience that I've learned as a beverage operator and as a hospitality operator that I immediately had to switch. And that's kind of when my entrepreneurship sort of mindset kicked in, because it was necessary to do so. So Love of Cocktails grew, and this is super quick, Cole's notes, needed a new production space to start building more cocktail kits. So I set off to find that. And I stumbled upon AMA, which is my beautiful event space right now. AMA is Chinese for grandma. So named after one of the most passionate and driven people I know. And AMA really became a production space for Love of Cocktails. And in turn, when real person, in-person experiences can happen again, we started hosting pop-ups, cocktail classes. And when chefs weren't able to go into kitchens to cook because there were no restaurants available, they did pop-ups at AMA, and it really became an incubator space for other young entrepreneurs as well. Fast forward a year later, which is 2 years ago, I was looking for a larger event space because it was in such high demand. I ended up finding my cocktail bar, Simple Things. So Simple Things is something that I, again, stumbled upon, right place at the right time. It was the right price at that time as well.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, a lot of people were offloading their restaurants and bars after the pandemic. So I had such a clear vision. I wanted to bring something new and exciting and innovative to the food and drinks world. So Simple Things is an all-day cocktail and snack bar that does Italian food during the day and snack bar Asian-style menu at night, which is so bananas when you think about it. Like, it's such a huge risk to take. However, people really embraced that concept, and within the first year, we actually got a lot of accolades, like Toronto Life's Best Restaurant, Air Canada En Route's Long List, Canada's 50 Best Bars, and I was like, oh my God, this kind of snowballed into something bigger. I attribute that to my team that I've built throughout the 4 years of these four different business ventures. And eventually, I started also with my partner a glassware line called Story.
I was admiring that
earlier. Very minimalist, simplistic, elegant line of glassware that everyone can just pick up with a fairly good price point, I would say. Mm. And then Node Studio, which is our newest venture, to kind of bring creatives together to make something cool and different and collaborate.
So she's been busy.
She's been not too chill, that's for sure. And within those 4 years, I also threw in a cocktail book because apparently I'm bored.
Right.
I wrote a cocktail book, and September this year was its first year anniversary of its launch.
I mean, when we think about, because all of this, the pandemic was kind of like the start of this whole journey for you. So, and that was, relatively speaking, not that long ago.
No.
And so is this something like building your own business and also like so many different parts of your business from like literally like a restaurant bar to a production studio, like all these things within the Evelyn Check universe, was that ever on your mind before the pandemic? Like, do you think you would have pursued that opportunity? And was that like an ambition for you ever before?
So I always thought about that. Before the pandemic, I thought that my ceiling was really being a hospitality executive. I thought that climbing the corporate ladder and continuously contributing my skills for someone else's concept was like where I was going to cap. And I don't know why I thought that. I think it's because when you're in this industry or any industry, you have your career trajectory and you follow it because others have done that before. But I think without the pandemic, I wouldn't have taken away a safety net that was there before and trusted in the fact that I could build something on my own. My family was always in some sort of business growing up. So my dad was an investor in a restaurant in Hong Kong. That's where I grew up. My grandfather owns a restaurant in Hong Kong, so I've been hospitality adjacent, so I always knew I was going to be in that industry. But in terms of making something and building something from scratch, I just never really thought of it, nor did I know that was something I wanted.
And do those things come out of like necessity, like, oh, like I'm gonna create the space as like an incubator because this is what's needed and this is what I'm feeling from the universe and hearing from my community. I'm gonna create a production studio because, or has that been kind of like a plan?
So I think, and that's just a very personal experience, whenever you can make something successful in such a saturated industry and such a talented industry, you need to find the gaps in which you need to fill. So during the pandemic or the tail end of the pandemic, people really needed a space to create and cook and make drinks and stuff. So I think Alma really filled that gap for those particular audiences at the time. It's obviously different now because there are so many spaces available. And in terms of the content creator studio, social media is everything now. And you see when you go to events, influencers are, the number of influencers attending events versus traditional media have also changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So I believe in the power of collaboration. And I think that when I found moments of growth in my business, it's always because I wanted to collaborate and do something new, or at least find a way to introduce something that's been done, but in an innovative way.
Yeah. You live within the world of hospitality and obviously cocktails, which we love. And starting a business is really like kind of creating a beautiful cocktail in that there are certain ingredients that, are base to, are the foundation to creating like a wonderful kind of successful product or business. What have you found to be kind of the ingredients that have been successful to building up your business foundation?
I think when you're building a business, the people who you surround your business with or who you pack your business with is so important, because there comes to a point in your entrepreneurship career where you can no longer do things on your own. And it's not about kind of diluting what you have to do because you're giving pieces to people. It also helps with saving time so you can focus on growth. But the piece the piece de resistance, I guess, is allowing for others to also give you opportunities to grow by bringing up new ideas. So I think the key piece really is to have a great foundation of staff, a great team, a good culture. Mm-hmm. Everything else will come. And it got to a point with Evelyn Schick Projects where I can no longer do things myself, and my team was formed very quickly because, mm-hmm. again, it was out of necessity. And I was like, wow, I'm really forking out this much money for salaries of this amount, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, it always pays off.
Yeah, yeah. And you surround yourself with a good team that you can trust.
Yeah.
What does hospitality and good hospitality mean to you?
I think hospitality as a kind of umbrella term is always the notion to be able to care for another person, to care for people in front of you, and to have compassion and empathy. And it's much more about just service. I feel like people see hospitality as giving good service, mm-hmm. but it's not like that at all. It's creating an environment in which another person can come into to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that embodies true hospitality, because when you're building a space like my event space or Simple Things, my cocktail bar, so many minute details that people will not ever notice when they step into the space, true hospitality, you think about the distance between each table that I place. Is it inclusive for every body type? Mm-hmm. Is the music going to be too loud for folks during the day when they come in, when I have an older crowd, versus at night when it's a younger crowd? So I feel like true hospitality, just thinking about those details and thinking about how you can really make people feel welcome in every situation that they're in.
Consideration and empathy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so your father was, or your family was in the hospitality industry. You've also named one of your businesses Alma, which in Korean, it sounds like Alma, which is mom.
Yeah, too, Alma,
So has your kind of cultural roots and heritage kind of informed any of your perspective on your business, and to what degree?
Yeah, I think subconsciously there are things that you learn when you grow up that you forget about, that comes out in a very, very significant way when you're building something that's so true to your heart. So my family has always been extremely hospitable. When I was younger, as a teen, you just never understood it. You thought that it was really annoying that grandma has to lay out the perfect amount of napkins for everyone, or why these chestnuts have to be peeled. But it's truly about making people feel welcome in your space. And I think that sort of attention to detail and that warmth translates really well into my spaces now. Mm-hmm. And your upbringing always affects how you handle things in life. So my father was always a very strict business person. My mother was also in business. So they were very kind of focused and driven and would work late nights. So the, work ethic that I have also came from my parents. And I hated it at the time. I was like, I just want to go to a birthday party. Why are you still working? But now it makes a lot of sense, right? It kind of provides me with that very driven element that I have in my personality.
So. Yeah, it's so interesting. And a lot of the interviews that we've had where people are speaking to their cultural kind of heritage and the influence that's had on their professional career, it's always a full circle kind of moment where you really try to growing up reject a lot of the things that were kind of influences in your life, whether that's the type of food that you're eating, or because you just want to assimilate in many ways. And then as we get older and have a better understanding of our self identity and also what our values are, it is almost coming back to those moments where you actually do value a lot of those things that you experienced growing up, seeing your grandmother needing to have perfect chestnuts and napkins, and it's all full circle.
Yeah.
And a lot of that influence is kind of the work that we do today. How do you find that that has been reflected in even your programming, from a menu from a food and a cocktail menu standpoint to you naming your spaces?
Yeah. A lot of people don't know this, but I grew up in Hong Kong, so I didn't move to Canada until I was 14. Mm. So it comes to a shock to folks because they're like, you don't have no accent. How do you do this? But I make a conscious effort to be very international, very global. Sometimes I do pull up these weird accents that I would come up with because I learned English in a British way because Hong Kong was the British colony. So when I go approach a program that I'm designing for myself or for others, I have a different lens because my palette is so international. So what people find interesting now, like ube's having such a such a complete, you know, like spotlight on it right now, it's a flavor that I've been very familiar with as a kid, so it was easy for me to adapt those really exotic flavors from before. And I think with that different mentality from bringing international flavors into something that's extremely north, or a city that's very cultural but also very North American, I'm able to create very freely and very easily with something that people might feel not so comfortable with, but I'm able to introduce it in a very approachable way.
Right, right.
So I think just having that as like a really nice, you know, background of international flavors just helps a lot with everything. Naming drinks is not my strong suit, I'm not gonna lie, but I do know how to put flavors together, and that's kind of how all of this started, is because, you know, I bartended for so long, I understood how to talk to people, I realized the true essence of hospitality, and I really understand flavor.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested, like growing up in a city that was so international in perspective and just the people that you're surrounded by, what are your kind of like formative memories around food and drink growing up that really feel like you've carried throughout the years with you? Like, is there something that you saw in your household that was like a ritual, or just as, you know, someone growing up there?
I think that's such an important question, because like having a dining experience with my family is so different than dining experiences everywhere. Being of like, you know, Asian heritage, dinners are like a whole like ordeal. You sit there, you sit there for 3 hours, people argue about stocks, they complain about the prices of things, but you eat and you enjoy. And it's the one time I always felt that my family felt together. There was a lot of moving pieces in my family. We have a lot of you know, step cousins, like from many different family members. I grew up with a very, very large family. So it was a time that everyone kind of sat and like just enjoyed chatter and enjoyed the experience. So I think that was really important because it forced a sense of community, but it formed a sense of really like togetherness, even if they're arguing about stocks.
Right.
You know, so I think food and drink really brings people together. And that was always sort of a anchor in a lot of my businesses too. It's like, there's this really magical power that food and drink holds that brings people together, no matter where they are. It's a universal language.
100%.
Yeah.
And just the idea of like breaking bread at a table and like coming together at a table, no matter what else is going on, and just sharing a meal. There's something so beautiful and simple, but also complex about that whole dynamic of being able to just come together at the end of a day, or I guess any meal, and just kind of sharing that experience.
Yeah.
Was there a dish that you would say was reflective of those early years, that it's like very symbolic of that time in your life? And then also, is there one that is symbolic of your time in your life at this point in your life right now too? Or drink?
Yeah, so there are a few that's like pretty hilariously significant. There's one dish called Watan Aoyok. It means runny egg with beef. It just sounds really weird, but it's a rice dish with like tomato, egg, and ground beef. And like just the textural components in that dish is, again, so simplistic. It's egg, tomato, some other stuff, beef, and rice. It's super Hong Kong. But my whole family always argues about how it should be had. It should be cao dai, which means the rice needs to be fried, or the egg needs to be this temperature, the beef needs to be cooked this way. And somehow every time we end up ordering 3 or 4 versions of it, because everyone needs to have it their own way. But it's the same dish, and it just goes to show you, like, it's such a personal preference as to how you want to enjoy something, but that dish is so significant to kind of our family and bringing us together, because we'll sit there and just have our 5-ingredient dish, but it brings us so much joy because we got to have that conversation. I loved that. My father was a huge scotch drinker growing up, and he used to mix it with green tea.
Oh, I've never done that before.
Weirdest combination ever. So I used to meet, like, his friends who are, you know, big Hong Kong businessmen, always makes fun of him. He's like, why did you drink with green tea? He's like, well, I love it that way and it's delicious. So.
And that's his thing.
And now that I've learned cocktail and learned flavor balancing and all of that, it's actually a fantastic combination. So I attributed a drink in my book For the Love of Cocktails for him called The Eddie. And it's like a scotch drink with a little bit of matcha and a tiny little bit of honey, which is how he liked it.
So yeah. It's really like something that you've taken from that time in your life and is now symbolic in your, in your life now. You know, Toronto has like an incredible food and drink scene and incredible hospitality, you know, a landscape and ecosystem, a lot of like global perspectives too. And then also like a really strong contingent of like Asian Canadian entrepreneurs, restaurateurs, you know, bar owners. Have you found that there is a community within that, you know, the Asian Canadian hospitality industry that you are able to kind of share experiences with and that are maybe different than like the larger experience maybe?
Yeah, I think the community is very strong and it's growing. I think it should grow more. Mm-hmm. There are people who I extremely admire. We're in a group chat together and we share resources. We tell each other who to call when our fridges break down, which is inevitable and monthly, unfortunately. But I think the contingency is very representative of how Asian representation is in the city right now. There's a ton of restaurants and bars opening up by, you know, API folks with a lot of people who are just exploring the restaurant industry for the first time. And I think that it's important because there is a certain way in which these spaces are presented that reflects someone's upbringing or someone's
lived experiences.
Yeah. And it's really lovely to see. Like a really prime example is a good friend of mine, Eva, who just launched Yan Dining Room and it sold out till next year, which is incredible. But she's had restaurant experiences and chef experiences with Michelin star chefs, but she's cooked everywhere in the world. Her flavors are global, but she is such a great storyteller. And it's rare in a case that you can translate a dish from something that's so traditionally made into a modern rendition and just be so seamless with its tribute and with its the stories that surround it. That's amazing. But that's behind Hongsheng, which is another like industry giant with a Asian restaurant that's been around for decades, and taking that brand and making it modern and making it hip so people can try Chinese food and realize that it doesn't necessarily need to be cheap because the ingredients are local and there's so much love that goes behind it. So I think representation is a huge part of making these new spaces shine in the spotlight because it shows, you know, a lot of history and a lot of passion behind the cuisine.
And passed down kind of heirlooms through the lens of food, right?
Yeah.
Food and drink. And also like representation, you know, can be literally in like the dishes obviously that are being served, but also the people that are leading establishments. Like how do you find that representation is being manifested through various aspects of the industry that are really bringing community together and also opening up doors for people within the community, but also just expanding people's palates outside of what they might think as like a stereotypical like Asian dish,
restaurant.
You know?
Yeah, I think a lot of the new spaces, we even chatted about it, like Takja Korean Barbecue, that's bringing Korean cuisine into a more a way that North American diners would particularly look for or ask for, that's a little bit more fine dining and just be unapologetically that premium price point as important. Having different folks be not scared to do fusion cuisine, because fusion is always seen as something that is just to kind of appease North American palates and really honor the traditional recipes and the cultural significance of certain dishes and certain types of drinks is really important. But having these like kind of little pockets of restaurants and bars pop up is really truly amazing to watch in Toronto, because we've always been a very multicultural city and the culinary landscape is incredible. It's world class.
Yeah.
But people always see it as, you know, you have your fine dining restaurants, you have your medium tier restaurant, and then you have places where you can go in and buy things that are just to go and really easy to access. But I think that sort of bridge is coming together now, and there's a lot of places that's accessible. They're introducing new flavors to you that you can go try, especially for people who aren't used to this type of flavors and spices and stuff like that.
As a gateway to as a door, opening the door. You mentioned, you know, you're on a group chat with people in the industry. You, a good friend of yours, Ziva. Who are some of like your mentors or role models, or just even like people that you can vent to that, you know, you really admire within the space?
Oh my God, there's so many of them. But in terms of sort of the, like in sort of like the Asian restaurateur world, I think what Colin is doing with Hongxing is amazing. Chef Nui Regular, like how she has brought so much flavor and so much particularity to all the different restaurants she has is absolutely incredible. There's so many more, like on top of mine, I'm just like in awe as to what other people are doing.
If you're, so going back to the cocktail world, if you could sum up kind of like your experience, let's say post-pandemic to now, like the Evelyn 2.0, if you could kind of summarize that into like a cocktail, what would that be? What kind of cocktail? Would it be like just like a stiff drink, or would it be kind of like a moody, like what's the vibe that you think that an Evelyn themed cocktail would be manifested through?
So I think that I will go with my trusted 50-50 gin martini, just because I feel like before the pandemic, I wasn't sure about myself at all. And I feel like I've really found a voice during the pandemic, especially not with just building businesses, but with understanding the community that I surrounded myself with. And I feel like the gin martini is my purest, truest form. It's simple. It's complex in a way because of the different ingredients that I put in it. Say if I were to switch a vermouth out for another vermouth, there's going to be a lot of complexities that come, or another gin for a more, you know, juniper-centric gin or something like that. But the pieces that are put together are extremely simple. And those are essentially the core values that I really stand for now. So before, it would have been maybe a 6-ingredient drink because I was trying to accomplish so much. But now it's very clear as to what I want to do. So I think a gin martini kind of embodies that spirit. But I'm able to switch the garnish up. So if I want to like be innovative and figure out something that I want to add to a gin martini, I'm able
modular
to do
modular cocktails.
Yeah.
And I guess that is reflected in like your glassware brand, your business, that philosophy of minimalism and just really, really great quality, but simple, a simple approach.
Yeah.
But doing it well.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes a big difference, and less stuff to hide behind too.
Of course. And I think authenticity is a huge part also of being a successful entrepreneur or a successful business is if you're trying to make something that isn't truly you, or you try to mask behind certain things, it just doesn't feel authentic. So that's why, simple things as a cocktail bar, I always said it's my like alternative living room. Like it's my like dream living room. It's like vintage Miami vibes. It's so colorful. It's almost like my alter ego. It's my creative self, my creative brain, like threw into a room.
Right.
Whereas this space, it's so minimal. It's actually like, I feel like who I am.
Right. What's the process that you go through when you are creating a new cocktail or like trying to create a space? Like, do you find similarities between those experiences?
I think when I'm creating a cocktail, I try to understand the purpose of it. And I think when you do things purposefully, you'll always be more successful than when you don't. I mean, creating cocktails is a very different process depending on what I'm trying to achieve at that time. I'm going to use simple things as an example. The point of the cocktail menu is to get people to try new things. And that's also like a running ethos within my company. It's like we're making things approachable, so you're going to try something new. And now you're leveling up as to how people experience things. And you might find a sake-based cocktail, but you have familiar flavors, so you don't feel like you are way far off of your comfort zone. Mm. So I think for at least that menu creation is trying to introduce something a little bit more unique, but with nostalgic, familiar flavors.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say, you know, because there's the hospitality industry is notorious for being very difficult and volatile and a lot of, change. But there are obviously some really incredible success stories, including yourself. What would you say is a piece of advice that you would give to others that are looking to enter into the same space or just take a risk and start their own thing? Or even a piece of advice you would give to yourself as you were starting out this journey, knowing what you know now.
I actually made a post a couple days ago when I realized that I've been doing this for 18 years, is that if you're truly passionate about something, if you know you want to execute this new idea, the worst you can do is go for it and then you fail and then you go back to what you're doing, or you fail, you learn, and then you continue on that path. Mm-hmm. You always have to trust the journey because the end goal is ever moving. So because I have 4 successful businesses, I'm not going to stop at growing my 4 successful businesses because it always improve. I'm learning every day. But keeping an open mind and ensure that you are surrounding yourself with people who advocate for you, who you can also advocate for. So there are a lot of points there. But essentially, like, do it. Just go do it and take a leap of faith on yourself because that's the best bet you can make.
Yeah.
And what I wish I knew before was not to lean so hard on the little details when you're making decisions like this. You need to understand that the bigger picture is more important, and mm-hmm. the little steps you take will always feel very scary, but that's the whole thing about entrepreneurship. You're continuously making calculated decisions, and you're just going to continue doing it until you feel like you're at a space where you're just comfortable with everything that's going
and
on.
And all the pieces have kind of fallen,
into place. Yeah.
How have the goalposts changed for you since the beginning of your journey? Like, are the goals that you had on day one very different than the goals that you have today, or have they evolved as a result of achieving them?
I think they've evolved in a way where in the beginning, when I started this hospitality entrepreneurship journey, was always about how am I going to make money on my own? And I don't know why it was monetary at the time. And obviously money is important, but mm-hmm. now I've created this little hospitality company that creates really excellent experiences for others. And my goals have changed from being very individual to ensuring that everything on the outside, everything that guests are experiencing, is top notch and of quality. So I feel like the goal has kind of switched from what is this doing for me to what is this doing for the community. Mm. And I think that's important to realize because I built spaces for others, and no matter how I grow my company, that's always going to be the compass. So it's really limitless. Like, I have tons of stuff that I can do. I continuously build these brick and mortar spaces. And I guess it's my incessant need to make hospitality something on the forefront and elevate food and drinks in a way where it's approachable for everyone. I want everyone to just like have a nice time all the time. So I think that's the reason why I keep growing and keep wanting to do this.
That's like your through line and your purpose.
Yeah.
Last question. What excites you the most about the road ahead for yourself?
I think the possibilities in which my different businesses can provide to those who I employ as well. Just seeing kind of the team grow with me has been really rewarding. And on this path, I'm really ready to take on more and be the name that everyone goes to with anything hospitality or beverage related. Especially when I'm on air a lot now, I find that connecting just with a different audience and a different crowd has shown me the wide reach in which I do, the wide reach in what I do. So I don't know, the road is very long and very far ahead of me, but I'm just enjoying the process and enjoying the journey.
I love that. Thanks so much for the chat and for having us in your beautiful space.
Yeah.
Love that. Thanks, Evelyn.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you liked, who you'd like to see on the show, and anything else you want to share. To keep up to date, subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Until next time, ask yourself, what's your mission?